Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Be great too. This is gonna be great.
All right, hey, well, hey, listen, yo, hey, how y'all doing? How y'all feeling out there? Good day to you, whatever time of day it is. We sorry we left you, but that was not the plan. We were going to do a late episode, and then we were going to do a next day episode, but then we realized that we were trying to do that on a pay-per-view night. So right. I started live tweeting for you. Right. I started live tweeting, you know what I mean? I figured, hey, this is close to the show. You know what I mean?
Sorry be that.
Apologies to be that, man. Yeah, man. Right. We never want to leave y'all hanging if you really want the content, man. Because that's what we do it for. We do it so that people want to hear us come back week after week. And we appreciate that. And hey, man, it's time. It's time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So that means it's time for the first Black Champ podcast. And I'm Camp from the Port.
And I am J.R. Bang. Make sure you rate, subscribe, download, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Yeah.
Barbershed Digital is the home. Go ahead and get the merch. See, Camp and I got the merch on. Hoodie season is on deck. So go ahead and get that merch. Get your tees, too. We got the long sleeves, short sleeves, all of that. But as we was cutting in, I said, we're going to start this pod off with some natural reaction. Now, what I'm about to show, what you're going to hear, and what I'm going to show Camp from the Port, I just saw like 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
And I don't have a backstory on this, but it's a great icebreaker with what we're about to listen and watch. And for those who haven't noticed it yet, I love getting natural reactions from Camp from the Port. Because it's either going to be a laugh or all hell no or something disparaging depending on the situation. And this one right here, I don't know where it's going to fall into. So further ado, apparently this was last night.
Okay.
A challenge has been set, and we might see two celebrities that we've known since we've grown up in the ring. Listen and watch.
Second celebrity boxing win after taking down Aaron Carter. He has now won against Ohani Noah. As Benzino makes his way.
Yo, John, Benzino has left the table.
Benzino is now in the ring. He's been saying that he wants Lamar Odom.
He wants to fight Lamar Odom. What's going on here?
I wasn't impressed with that. I believe definitely he's the champ. I wasn't impressed with that fight. I want to shout out Ohani. You did good, man. Ohani, where you going? Come on back in here. You did good, buddy. But I wasn't impressed. Hey, Damon, man, I want to shout out the champ.
Yo, our commentator.
I want to shout out the champ.
Our co-pilot is up there.
I want to shout out the champ, man.
Yo, John, what's going on right now?
Where you at, Ohani?
Benzino's been talking about this even before impressed. The night began.
Hey, Elvis.
Yo. What the fuck is happening? What the fuck is that? What the fuck is this? Hey, wait a minute. First of all. Wait. Let's do all this shit. I wish there was a split screen. We got to hear all the shit that I was saying when this video was happening.
Wait a minute. Because
I was like, is that fucking Lamar Odom again? That was my first thing. Is that fucking Lamar Odom again? And then dude with the big ass boxing glove was gonna hit him in the back of the head. And I was like, oh shit, this shit about to get real.
Yeah.
But then fucking Benzino pops out of nowhere talking about he wasn't impressed with that. Duh, nigga, nobody is. What the fuck is you talking about? Like, nobody's impressed.
There we go. There we go. There we go. I had to turn down the audio.
First of all, Lamar Odom is real life black cracking, by the way. Like, this looks terrible. He looks terrible standing in there like that. That looks bad.
Bruh.
and then when Benzino said something about O. Hardy, I thought he was talking about dude from the Made Men. I was like, yo, the Made Men is like celebrity boxing now. Does that count? Because I think it was young Elo and young Hardy. And I was like, yeah, Huddy Six, rest in peace. So I'm like, yo, the fuck? But boy. Why? I mean, well, first of all, you can obviously tell this ain't the WBC because nowhere in the world would they let Benzino have a mic where, you know, Max Kellerman or Harold Letterman or any or like Sean O'Malley, like anybody else would have grabbed a mic before fucking Benzino.
Right.
Why this is happening. I am so confused.
Look at my man looking like Matt Forte. I think he's right. Live. I think he's live on IG.
Yeah, with the gray suit and the pink shirt, right?
Yeah, and a couple of people in that ring sell drugs.
Oh, absolutely. Why else would they be there? Like, yo, this is on the song Rich Black, Raekwon and Nas. Raekwon says, "Junkies win awards in my tournament." That's what this shit reminds me of right now. Like, this is crazy. Why is this happening? Like, fans, like, yeah, drug dealers. Like, yo, hey, man, here, $100. Knock this nigga out over there. Like, that's what they do. Like, yo, hey, this is for entertainment. I want to watch this nigga knock somebody out. Hey, y'all got $200 for you, OG? Go ahead and knock this nigga out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is terrible. I mean, yeah. Hey, listen. But listen. What I won't do is that I'm not going to disrespect his payday. Look, Lamar Odom is trying to get money because I don't know. I can't see him taking boxing this seriously because, again, people got to start fighting real people that fight before I start paying for this shit. Like, we not doing none of this. Like, show me somebody, like, do the rank 40th person in the WBC, and then I'll be interested.
That's
like, I don't even want you in the top 10 or 15. Rank 40. The dude
that's cool 40. With me.
Yeah.
That is one
rank 40.
Fam, that is 100% cool with me. I am fam. Like, at least Chad Johnson fought an actual fight.
Yes. Chad Johnson, I respect. Ocho Cinco gets my respect for that because he hopped in there and he got popped. Like, he got hit by a real fighter.
Right.
He was like, oh, shit. Okay. It's realer than I thought. Like, but that's cool. That's cool because at least you are finding a sanctioned, licensed fighter that's really trying to hold the belt. He's trying to get his Mayweather on, his De La Hoya on. You know, like, he's trying to improve.
He's trying to improve.
Yes.
He's trying to be something.
Like, you regular D-list celebrities that just don't like each other, fuck all of that shit. I don't want to see none of that shit.
Saw that in the 90s. We saw that with celebrity boxing on Fox.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm not in here for that. Like, there's nothing to learn from this other than, like, oh, people really think they can scrap and they just want to do it in a place where they won't get arrested. Yeah. Fuck all that. I don't want to see this shit ever again. What the fuck is Lamar Odom doing?
This is what I said.
Yo, what the hell is?
I'm guessing that Benzino is a commentator on celebrity boxing on Fight TV.
Bro, I'm mad that he hopped in there like Classy Freddy Blassie, like he was really going to change something from happening. Like, dude, fam, what the fuck you talking about? You're not impressed.
Yo, I want a shot at the champ. I want a shot at the champ.
Right. Like, come on, man. Stop, man.
So. Another natural reaction. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, really. It's gonna be funny as shit when Lamar Odom get knocked the fuck out by somebody that can really fight, though. That's gonna be funny as shit because he's 6'9". So he's gonna fall really fucking far in awkward. if you're over 6'5", if you fall, it's just like the weirdest thing ever.
Because yeah, tall niggas.
Yeah, your center of gravity ain't like right. Like I'm like right at the borderline. I'm 6'2", and even when I fall, it looks a little crazy. But if you're like,
when's the last time you fell? When was the last time? Do you remember the last time you fell? Like actually fell.
Look, I'm gonna tell you. Hey, you know what? Yeah, when I was shoveling fucking in Indianapolis during an ice storm that snowed on top of the ice storm, and my daughter was
see. Now I'm not counting that.
Laughing at me. Oh,
I'm not counting. I'm not see.
That's what happened. That's what the fuck happened, man. I knocked all ice off the fucking. Cause see, and everything cause I feel so fucking hard.
I'm talking about like walking and just like fail. Cause like shit, like shoveling snow and shit is one thing. You destined some shit to happen. But when the last time you like tripped and fell? Like, whoa, oh shit.
Yeah. No,
I mean, they fell down the stairs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's been a minute. That shit is no fucking fun. Imagine when you get hit in your jaw. And that shit go like this, and then your body start flailing because you 6'9", your wingspan is 74 inches. And you
that's why I broke it down like that, because the last time I fell, like, severely is when I was walking to the bus stop going to work one day in Maryland, and I slipped on some black ice. That shit, I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, yeah.
My hip was hurting for about a year, goddammit. But like tripping and falling, I can't remember the last. So forcefully getting knocked down is already funny. But I just, because I can't remember the last time I like just like trip and fell. Like, whoa, shit.
Yeah.
All right. So, second natural reaction, which I've already shown you, but now that I'm in front of you with this camera going, I really want to get your natural reaction in front of you to what quite possibly will become a new intro for a Griselda song.
Door open, says, out of the car, I'm taking your car. You say, okay, take it. Just don't hurt me.
Hold his ass.
You know what I do? I
pull out
the Glock, put it on his head, and spill his brains all over the concrete.
Griselda.
So here's a couple of things here, Kent. And I love Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson is one of my favorite wrestlers. He's probably top three for me as far as favorites.
You know that. Mm-hmm.
But his shooting hand, fam. His shooting hand is arthritic.
Yeah, man. Or, that's why he can't spine buster no more. That's why it's that one right there.
And this ain't even jokes about Arn Anderson. It's just the fear.
Yeah.
If that's what happened to niggas who wrestle, I give y'all all the respect in the world of doing this shit.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen.
Cause that nigga pulled the cripple arm up.
Yeah. That means he gonna let off three just because. Like he thinking he only squeezed one time and pop, pop, pop. So he's shooting somebody in the face three fucking times. Like,
yeah, and then too, I just want y'all to listen to how he hold Cody Rhodes, and I'm gonna give y'all my real life assessment after reading some shit that from the dirt sheets. So I want y'all to listen to this again, how he just hold Cody.
Oh man,
I'm Arn Anderson, and all my God, and I'll be damned if I'm gonna coach a loser.
Bruh. Hold him.
Yeah, man.
Hold him. So, according to the dirt sheets, Kim, some shit that I said on this pod is true.
Oh, okay.
According to the dirt sheets, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega are executive vice presidents by name only.
Okay.
And Tony Khan has all creative control. So, he Vince McMahon.
Interesting.
So you can come to him whatever you want to, but it's gonna be him. And apparently they used to have creative control, but now they don't. Go ahead.
Well, what date is that? When that started?
They said this has been a while now.
Okay.
because I have some assessments here. They didn't give. I didn't see anything with a specific date, but apparently this has been like this for a while now. And Cody and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega don't really get along like that.
Really?
Which some people told me that's what they were hearing out of AEW. Like them four don't get along.
So that's what the sub tweets were from some of those wrestling accounts. They was like, yo, so now that CM Punk here, y'all gonna start keeping it real. How about y'all don't fuck with each other? And I was like, wait, who are they talking to? Like, real quick, want to say this while it's at the front of my mind, because you know, as you know, Punk and Brian and Christian and the like, basically, you know, that old top to mid tier of WWE start coming in, and they were like, yo, we already seeing Young Bucks, Cody, Kenny, and all those guys already above us. So now you're going to bring them, and they're going to be above us too. So they was like, essentially the same shit don't start happening. But and I was like, so now to hear that from you about them not really vibing like that, this is interesting. Please proceed.
Yeah, I know Ringside News ain't necessarily the go-to. So when I saw it on there, I was like, But then I started seeing it everywhere, and it matched with, you know, some of the things that I was told about 2-3 months ago, that these cats ain't really getting along like that. They ain't really feeling each other like that. And I could totally understand that, because when you look at Cody to me is the outsider. He always was the outsider. He was the face of the four, but he was between the four as a group, as a whole. They was the outsiders. Excuse me, because Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, they was over there in Japan all together doing all this shit and going everywhere. Cody left the WWE to find himself.
Yeah, for like a year run over there, right?
He was right,
for like a year, like maybe
he, like he was hitting the independents hard, just like he was hitting the independents in New Japan, ROH. He was hitting them hard, but he left the WWE to find himself. They already knew who the fuck they was.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, they were already a group. They were already fucking with each other. They were already friends, working with each other. So I could totally understand Cody Rhodes coming up in here and not being a part of the get along gang, as Kwame Brown would say.
Yeah.
You know, I could see him not being a part of that shit. But here's the other part too. When this shit popped off, it was Cody this, Cody that, Cody this, Cody that. Cody got on the TV show with Snoop and them, and now he got his reality show and everything. And then you got them over there wrestling.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega the champ. Cody Rhodes ain't sniffed this motherfucking belt really since AEW has happened.
Yeah.
He gets infused with motherfucker that comes in, and then he wins him or lose him and leaves. The fans boo him, fam. If you watch AEW now consistently, and this motherfucker comes on.
Yeah, they tied his promo.
And I watched a little bit of the Rose joint on TNT.
Okay.
And it was mentioned like, yo, you might want to turn heel because the fans ain't really fucking with you. It's like,
Which is dope. That's what we need.
Right, I mean, look, Cody Rhodes just feels like the outsider again in this equation. It's showing that he is the outsider. It's like him and his wife. And she looks to me like the only person that, like, legit got a real job in AEW.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're not.
You know, but her chief brand officer job seems real to me.
Yeah, no, she's definitely the Stephanie McMahon of AEW.
Yeah,
I'll call it right now. Because but it really looks like it. To your point, it's like, I don't even really want to see you on TV on the show, because I can tell when I just randomly check you out through the FBC POD Instagram page that, yeah, you're doing like some other shit that yeah. brings awareness to AEW on TNT. And I don't have a problem with that.
So it's just going to be like, as we bring more WWE people in, I saw something just before we had got on about how people are saying that they feel Chad Gable would fit better in AEW. I'm like, why are we going again? Like, everybody can't just come to AEW, fam. Like, everybody can, because you're going to get into the same situation that you say the WWE is in.
Right.
To me, I do think Chad Gable is going to be okay. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, because I like what him and Otis got.
Yeah.
But again, if you're not happy in one place, go be happy in some place. I just hope this, like when people say that, oh man, he could be a future world champion, and yada, yada, yada. Look, I talked to Kurt Angle specifically about Chad Gable, and I saw the magic in Kurt Angle's eyes. The nigga lit up like it was his kid. Just, oh yeah. So I know if Kurt see potential in him, a lot of more people do too.
Absolutely.
But when you like 5'8" doing the Olympic shit,
yeah.
it's kind of hard for you, even though you go at it hard with anybody and everybody. Like Chad Gable was in NXT killing it. And when he finally got Jason Jordan on, I miss Jason Jordan now. I can't believe I'm saying that shit. But he backstage, he run the shit. But that's why I hope something happens with the Gable Steveson cat. Because him, Gable Steveson, and Otis, I think you got something then.
Okay.
But everybody can't go there. And then if I'm seeing Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega not on the same page, then these niggas ain't even got creative. So let's even go to Tony Khan. If Tony, this what makes me look at AEW a bit differently too. If Tony Khan is in charge of creative, if he's the Vince McMahon legit now of AEW, you know what? The motherfucker's doing a great job as a wrestling novice. Like the nigga's doing a great job. If that's what it is,
yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't catch it every week beyond YouTube, but it looks like two things are being accomplished. It looks like the brand is not going stagnant, and it's becoming a good. It's becoming a place where people want to come and at least get their 6 to 8 to 12 months off.
But that's
not bad in year two. That's not
I mean, that's not bad. Especially if, I mean, we've heard all the stories about Vince McMahon, how he could be overbearing and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And a micromanager. So if I come over to AEW and I can have a good time and not be micromanaged, I probably am going to feel better about not having a belt instead of like trying to get in position in the belt in WWE. But I am. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it's almost like a break. You go to the machine, you come from the machine to, you know, whatever you want to call AEW, it might feel good. Last thing, and the tweet just came out. Actually, I just saw the tweet directed to us from Donnie Luch. Have we checked out Heels on Stars yet? Have you checked out Heels yet? That's the wrestling joint with my man from that used to be an Arrow. It's actually decent.
I realized that I can get Stars on Hulu now, so I'll check it out.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah. I watched the first 3 episodes of it. It's decent. I forgot Stephen Hamill, that actually wrestled, and like did the wrestling joint in WWE that one time with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
But he is in the joint. James Harrison is in there too. Used to play for the Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to have a similar situation as AEW, really not utilizing their black talent.
Yeah.
You know? But nah, it's a dope show, man. CM Punk was on one episode. It's how can I put it? It's a dramatic version of The Wrestler.
Okay.
And without less whores.
Oh,
that's with less whores.
Ram yeah, jam. I mean,
it'd be fucking like dude, little brother, nailed like the little his valet to the cross a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, shit. Okay.
Actually Ram nailed jam. One time, and one of the homies walked in and was like, "Hey man, my eyes closed." But yeah, so far so good. It's decent. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get to this joint, man. First Black Champ, make sure y'all rate, like, subscribe, download. I wanted to go with a quick, because we didn't get a chance to do it, a quick recap of Extreme Rules. Extreme Rules happened last week. It wasn't a really discussed, like, they didn't really discuss it heavily. And it wasn't a lot of heavy promotion that went into the joint. But it happened nonetheless, and I would say for me, it was one of the better pay-per-views this year. And a clear sign to me that the WWE knows, I still believe the WWE knows they're not in competition with AEW as far as ratings go. Like, ratings and revenue go, ain't no competition. Right. And we all know when it comes to big business, all we give a fuck about is ratings. Revenue. Are we getting the ratings or are we getting the revenue? We getting both. As long as we getting one or the other, we're happy.
Right.
And if we getting both, it's a great day to be alive. So, but I do believe from a social media standpoint, from a fan standpoint, from a conversational standpoint, which could lead to tickets being up or down, that's where the competition comes in. And to me, this was the first pay-per-view where I was like, okay, I think the WWE is like, yo, we can't bullshit with these folks no more. Now, I did miss Liv Morgan versus Carmella, but I saw your tweets from the FBC pod, Twitter, FBC underscore pod Twitter. So talk about that match and how Liv Morgan is starting to become one of them.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, we always highlight how, like, some guys, like the men wrestlers with character changes, however, how they evolve, and even how, you know, we're just all about, like, even just the evolution of Charlotte. But what about, like, the young ladies that really was kind of no hope for? And they were kind of like, in a lot of situations, you could say that both Carmella and Liv Morgan were supposed to be placeholders
in this whole shit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, look at Enzo and Cass, look at the Riot Squad. Like, think of who they were in NXT and when they first debuted in the on the main roster and who those two ladies were, and now they're in a pre-show match solo, you know, expected to kick it off, and it was over 10,000 people in that mug too. Like, they nobody came late. But As I watch Liv's moveset and I watch her get into the aspect of storytelling, I was like, yo, I don't know everybody she's working with, but she's trying to win. Like, whenever they really nailed down what her character is supposed to be, she's going to get at least an Alexa Bliss run before the turn. That's what, like, she, because, like, I mean, she's getting really fucking good. Like, she's getting really good. And her offense is innovative. Like, they don't have her playing the power game. They don't have her playing, like, too much of the flashy game. But she's just, like, real creative with hurting you with the ring. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like the fact, like, she's doing, like, the whole, I call it the kick push into the turnbuckle. And then she used the ropes to do her finisher, like, that's some ill shit for, like, a small person. Like, even Rey Mysterio don't try that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I think her performance, I don't want to just say solid, but I do want to say it's impressive. You know what I'm saying? Did she give you 2015 Sasha Banks or Bayley? No. Like, no, that's not what happened. But once they level up her competition, now give her somebody to shoot for. Like, you could say for just out of respect that her and Carmella were even, right? But now let's throw in there with Naomi and see what time it is. Right. And then after that, now let's throw her with I would even say Bianca Belair. See what time it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, see how they both go with that contrast of styles, because I believe that Liv Morgan is officially above that tier of the girls that, oh no, she can wrestle, she can hold a match, to now like, hey, no, let's see what we did if we threw you in the first four matches of the night, like of the real night. I think she's that okay. At that level right now.
Yeah, man. I didn't see that match. I saw your tweets, so it made me go back and look at it. And mm-hmm. then seeing like how she started to be positioned on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think she serves better to move over to Raw. So I hope she's drafted over to Raw. Because I think she needs to move away from that group. And with Charlotte coming over there now, which mm-hmm. we'll talk about a little bit later, that group gets a little bit different, because Charlotte gets on her Karen shit, ain't nobody stopping her. Ain't that yeah. you're gonna need? I don't think you get the 1-2-3 kid storyline with Liv Morgan.
No,
but I think she's past that. I think she's past that stage of, damn, you know, I really think I could do this. Like all that tearful crying shit can stop.
Yeah.
Like that, like the same thing that gets on my nerves when Bianca Belair is smiling and like on look like she's happy to be here. Liv mm-hmm. can stop that shit too. I think Liv arrived when she had that match with Bianca Belair, and I think there's no stopping her from here. So as long as just don't overdo it, but I think we'll be seeing some great stuff from her rest of the year going into 2022. Like really skipping over the New Day and Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos, because we could go all day long about how the black folks looked very great in that match.
Yeah, man.
And even the Usos and the Street Profits, because we kind of expect that. Yeah. It's two things that I would say about this pay-per-view that really stood out to me, and I have to apologize to Damian Priest again. Because he really put in work in that triple threat match. And then also, Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch, even though we had the interference and all of that shit from Sasha mm-hmm. Banks, which I kind of expected.
Okay.
I knew that with the draft and everything. And I had read some in the dirt sheets that they was like, yo, she's not there because creative ain't got nothing for Sasha Banks. Get the fuck out of here.
That's creative wild.
Ain't got, yeah, that's the stupid. That's like saying creative ain't got shit for Hulk Hogan.
Right. It's like, nah, just throw them out there. I'm sure something
will right. We got something for you. This is how we going to do it, though. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. But it proved to me that even with the 26-second loss at SummerSlam, which still gets on my nerves, mm-hmm. and how I wish she would have won that match or, like, really won that match to try to get her shit back. But then I'm not thinking that the draft is coming up. And then also, I kind of figured Sasha Banks is coming back, but how they're going to do it, I think Bianca is now in a bigger place than she was when she lost the belt. In 26 seconds. To the point where, not going front, I was shocked and surprised when she was the first woman drafted. I mean, she was the first woman without a belt drafted. Because, of course, Sasha, like, Charlotte going to get, like, if you draft a woman to SmackDown, you're thinking Charlotte, Becky, because she's the champ.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
But when Charlotte is drafted, and then they go over to Raw, and Bianca Belair's drafted higher than the woman who's a champ and Sasha. Mm-hmm. I pull back and I say, hey, she's in a good place. I'm just wondering how this is good, because all these changes don't take place until after Saudi Mania.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting who's going to hold what belt.
Yeah.
But if Sasha's picked fourth, I mean, not Sasha, but Bianca's picked fourth, she's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with it. Then we got the shit that happened at the end. I pass it over to you. Your thoughts on the pay-per-view.
All right, man. So listen, we said on this show that the Demon has never been beaten and that Roman Reigns hasn't lost in over a year. So literally somebody had to lose. Somebody had to lose because there's no way that two undefeated streaks end in a no contest. That's just wrestling law at this point. You know what I'm saying? So I won't even lie to you. I at first watching it because I was just waiting for the smoke to clear so the coup de grace could happen. I'm thinking the stage of the ring malfunction, but I was like, I weigh way more than fucking Finn Balor. How the fuck did that happen? but still I was like, so I had to throw it out to the people that follow the FBC pod on Twitter. And I was like, wait, was that like was that a malfunction? What the fuck was that? And everybody was like, no, that was supposed to happen. Well, no, not everybody. We were all split.
I saw God intervene.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, yo, no, man, God ain't letting no demons hold titles over the tribal chief. And I was like, yo, I want his promo to say exactly that. Because he did point up to the sky like, yo, thank you, God. Like, yeah, I got you. You know who the tribal chief is. Okay. What I will say is this. My mind, because I've watched wrestling so long, it went so many places. One, I was like, do we really believe that just a supernatural act happened during the Demon's finisher? You know, like, do we really believe that? Like, based on what we've seen the Demon do just everywhere. The character of the Demon. Look what it's done just in life. So you mean to tell me on one night, what city were they in? I forget.
Columbus.
So you tell me one night in Columbus, Ohio is a night the ring malfunction? And the finisher is that? Now granted, I don't know, disrespect to Columbus, because I love the city of Columbus. This is a super dope ass city.
I hear.
But like, shouldn't something like that happen at, like, the Garden? Shouldn't that happen at, like, the Georgia Dome? Shouldn't that happen in fucking Houston? Like, a major city. I'm not even saying it should happen here in Nashville. I'm not even saying that. Like, I'm saying that it shouldn't happen here. So,
it should happen in the top five market.
Yeah, absolutely.
10 maybe. So,
yeah, so there was that for me. Then I had the split second where I thought about Owen Hart. Rest in peace. Because I'm like, wait, should we even play like that?
Good
like,
point.
Should we even fucking play like that?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, because AEW, they're doing the Owen Hart thing, too. And I was like, damn, yeah. Is this coincidence? Like, what the fuck is all of this? But at the end of the day, listen. You put SmackDown in a very awkward place if the tribal chief loses to the 5'10 demon, and then you gotta come back to Raw. I mean, you gotta come back to SmackDown the next week. Like, you just do. That ending, I can't even call it bullshit. So I won't. I'm just, the ending was pointless. Like, it's not bullshit, it was pointless. Like, Roman Reigns beating the Demon ain't really far-fetched if you look at the year that he's had. Like, he
fucking killed Bray Wyatt.
Like, he literally murdered Bray Wyatt.
He did. We ain't seen him since.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, why would he not? Like, why would not be the Demon if he could beat fucking Bray Wyatt? Or the Fiend. I'm sorry. No, he beat the Fiend. I'm sorry. Let me
Let's be clear. Yeah, you're right. He beat The Fiend.
Yeah. Like, he killed The Fiend. So, why the fuck could he not beat the demon?
Yeah. When you say that, yeah, first of all, let me say I love the match.
Yes.
I love the match. I thought the match was great.
The only extreme match we had, by the way.
Yes. The only match where they start bringing shit out. So when I saw that happen at the end, I was like, nah, that ain't happen. That's not the way we're ending this match. Mm. Where the ring malfunctions and he gets speared 1, 2, 3 point guy.
Yeah, man.
That can't be. I wasn't a fan of the demon coming back in this way anyway.
Okay.
I already said that this need to be, they need to change it around on some American Psycho shit. Mm-hmm. Like, very except good. With the fucking in the mirror shit. No. But when you bring him out, it has to be special and he has to win. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Taker's streak. But then I thought about Taker and I thought about the WWE. Mm-hmm. And this ain't nothing new ever. Like, the Undertaker barely won his matches.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, so like the only person that was really like winning his shit is John Cena. So I looked, I was like, you know what? Okay. I just think we needed a better explanation from the WWE to say, why would this happen? Yeah. And why would the demon succumb to that? A ring malfunction.
Yeah.
That was the part of it. That was the part of it where I was like, oh, no, nah, yeah, we tweaking. Because The Fiend, like, no, not The Fiend, excuse me, the demon, in a sense, losing by accident, don't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's not supposed to be the thing. Oh, he lost by accident. He lost because of some shit. Oh, man, he lost by accident. That didn't strike well to me. Mm-hmm. Especially if we're going to move straight on to Saudi Mania. That just didn't. That's the part of it that didn't feel right to me. Other than that, it's like, ah, whatever. But the demon losing by accident, it's the point of being a demon then.
Right, because, I mean, bless you. Regular Finn Balor put up a better fight after the spear than that. It's like, fam. I mean, and you know what? What makes the ending even worse, besides regular Finn Balor putting up more of a fight after the spear, right, is the fact that one of the greatest pandemic moments in a wrestling match ever happened, and then the ending was so lackluster that you kind of wish that the match was a double countout.
Right.
Because when Roman Reigns starts beating the demon's ass and throws him over the railing, and then he goes like this, and then all of a sudden, Paul Heyman got his COVID mask out, and he puts it on, goes out there and starts whooping ass. And what a wonderful way to be socially responsible, break kayfabe, and show y'all why I went here the first fucking place in the top of 2020 at the same damn time. Roman Reigns is not, he don't fuck with none of y'all. And I love it, because he was like, hey, look, yeah, I'm not going at the Rumble. Fuck you. I got twins. I'm not fucking around with this COVID shit.
Fam, when he broke out the mask, this is exactly what I said to myself. We gonna see who really fuck with him and who don't fuck with him. Now, this is the kind of racist part of this show, ladies and gentlemen. So let me apologize in advance.
Oh, shit.
But this might offend some people. Let me rock.
Let's go.
Can't. We know the majority of the people who like fuck that mask.
Yeah.
It's white people.
Yep. Overwhelming percent.
Overwhelming percent. And a lot of them were in Columbus that mm-hmm. night.
Swing Look, state.
Right. You can't tell me that out of all of the 100% of white people in that arena that night, that more than 70% are not in favor of mask. I'm going to give you 70. I think it's more than that, but I'm going to give you a C average here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give you a C. Right. Yeah. And they just happy to be in the building and enjoy themselves and enjoy their families, enjoy some entertainment. Nigga, wrestling is back. And it's in Columbus. It's pay-per-view. Vince McMahon is a friend of Trump. Linda still works with Trump. She works with a super PAC. Oh, man, this is great American television right here. This Americana. Not even America. Americana. You know what I'm saying? You know it's some shit when a motherfucker hits you with the, you know, the good old-fashioned Americana.
Believe it.
Real. You know, ask Dusty Rhodes when that motherfucker was delivering pieces and polka dot. Americana.
Yeah.
So when Roman Reigns put on that mask, I guarantee you that 70% of white people that's in that arena was with their kids. And they told their kids that night, fuck Roman Reigns. I guarantee it. Fuck him.
Oh,
fuck,
man.
Fuck that Samoan nigger. See, I brought my son here to watch wrestling. I didn't bring my son here to be politicized.
You know it.
Fuck that mask. I didn't bring my... Oh, so now we're germ. We're germy. Then that 30%. This is probably a 30% of white folks is sitting next to the 70%. Like, man, you know fam had leukemia. What, oh, he don't believe in God? He don't believe God got him? Huh? I didn't bring my son here to see a wrestler wrestle in a mask. But Rey Mysterio wears a mask. That's different. That's different. It's two totally different things. It's a medical mask that Roman Reigns wore. Rey wore some Lucha Libre shit. It's fucking Mexican shit. That and you know what? That right there, they wear that mask because of wrestling history. Okay? Roman's wearing that mask because he's like all these goddamn Democrats that's out here. Antifa wearing mask and shit to wrestle Finn Balor. You didn't see the demon come out. Did the demon put on a mask and he went in there? No. Man, fuck him. I guarantee fucking to you if that shit wasn't said, it was in public, that shit was said in somebody's head. So when I saw that motherfucker put on that black mask, I said this. Hey, man, do your motherfucking thing, fam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, as somebody who has said on multiple podcasts and multiple shows, hey, if you want to be... Take the shot. I took it. If you don't want to take it, you ain't got to take it. If you do,
right.
Do. But mask is a little bit different. And mask to me ain't politicized. Because y'all niggas is nasty. Because y'all motherfuckers is nasty. I've learned throughout this pandemic how nasty people are.
Yeah.
All learned. Facts. So Roman Reigns, who is in remission of having leukemia, he put on a mask to entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you now, there was some white people, a lot of white people in that crowd was like, no, you're on bullshit. Fuck you. Oh, yeah. Fuck you, tribal chief. You can never be, how can you be the tribal chief man wearing a mask? So that shit was hilarious to me. And a game-changing moment. Because I was like, damn. Yeah. Did Paul Heyman just throw this motherfucker a mask for real?
Yo, hey. The thing that makes it so great, though, I mean, really, what really makes it great is the fact that he threw him over there and was like, yeah, just in case I knew some shit like this would happen. And he was like, yeah, go ahead,
give me that.
And then he was like, and then he just hopped over like, yeah, no, I was prepared for situations like this in case I get around one of you fucking dirty, nasty Ohioans.
Right.
you know what I'm saying? Like, he was prepared. And listen, Roman Reigns lives in Florida. That's what makes it funnier to me. Because he lives in fucking Florida.
I didn't even get to that part, my nigga. I didn't even get to that part. This nigga lives... in Ohio, my nigga. Hey, man, look. That shit was amazing in itself. I know some people are like, y'all politicizing and bringing masks into this shit. If he wanted to wear a mask, he should have hollered at Rey Mysterio.
Mm-mm, no, that made it even better. He was like, look. Even better. Where I know my sector is good.
He was right, like, we good over here.
You know what I'm saying? But then the fact, like, just the life entendres that took place in that moment did it for me. I was like, okay, Roman Reigns he's got to be in everybody's top five this year. I don't care. Like, man, if we're doing best wrestlers of the year, he's in the top five. He's not five.
Well, for that PWI got him number two. Is Kenny Omega number one? Him number two. So we good. Hey, he ain't number five.
Yeah, there we go. And a moment like that solidifies it. Again, I know that a lot of the indie voices are loud. The wrestling Twitter voices are loud. And y'all hate entertainment, I'm convinced. And I think we're going to go and talk about a person that was trying to entertain and or setting up story. Y'all just not fucking with it. And I don't know what to tell y'all at this point. I don't. I watch wrestling to be entertained. Do I want to see great matches, five-star matches, good wrestling? Yes, I do. But I am proud to be leaning in the entertainment wing of pro wrestling. Like, if I see a great match, I see a great match, and I can be entertained by it. But I'm entertained by story, by character, by moments. Like, that's what I'm here for. So that's why I don't argue with you motherfuckers no more. You don't even get my fur up when I fucking see your fucking tweets anymore, because it's not worth it. I was like, I get it. You just, like, it don't matter who you see. As long as you see a lot of super kicks and holds and poses and flips, you're good. Not me. I like random shit like that because that can be in a movie or somewhere. What Roman Reigns did is a moment that you'll be like, that should be an OMG moment. That's nominated for a Slammy. It was like, yo, when Roman Reigns won the mask in Columbus because he was fighting in the crowd. Like, that should get a Slammy. He's a Slammy for that. That shit was hard.
Hey, man, it shows you the times we're living in right now.
Right.
If anything, my nigga. Absolutely. Before we get into this, this no rules disqualification falls count anywhere match. Put on this goddamn mask, cause y'all motherfuckers over there nasty. I seen you, fat fuck.
Right.
I seen you, fat fuck, digging your nose. Yeah, you fat fuck. Yeah, I saw that shit. And then you gonna try to pat me on the back. You lucky I ain't wearing no whole coverall for y'all motherfuckers.
Word. Shout to Real Heels returning to wrestling, man.
That's true. Now to end off Extreme Rules weekend, Bobby Lashley, Big E with some nice promos during Extreme Rules, which led to a steel cage match. A steel cage match. Big, meaty men bumping meat inside of a steel cage. That's how Big E would say it. And then we had another New Day Hurt Business tussle. I do have an issue.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up now. I didn't like the fact that when the New Day and Big E won the match, they said the winners of the match are the New Day.
Yeah, man.
Big E is the champ. His name needs to be separated. Like, it needs to be world champion Big E and the New Day. Nigga, this is David Ruffin, and these are my Temptations. That's what this is, fam. Once I hold that belt, nigga, I'm David Ruffin. Mm-hmm. People can come to see you, Otis, but they come to see the champ. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit upset when I heard that. But then the next day happened, and I saw Big E versus Bobby Lashley in that cage, and I forgot about it. And to see the gang fight that happened outside, to see Bobby Lashley and Big E in a great cage match, and I could say, you know, it's probably one of the better cage matches ever on Raw.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure.
It really, like that pin, that match solidified to me Big E as the WWE World Champion. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, one, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's very interesting for Big E because it's the guy that everybody wants to see win, but he still needs legitimate wins to be legitimized. I know I've been on the show all year saying, man, Big E want to be New Day so bad. And he even got on New Day tights. He had a New Day outfit the last couple of weeks. And but I do like the pairing of him and Bobby Lashley because it allows Bobby Lashley to be that heel that likes to fight and for Big E to be that overwhelming, powerful face. Like, I think that, well, we got to let the draft happen, right? We got to let the draft happen. People go where they go. But right now, I think to kick off Big E's title run, there was nobody better than Bobby Lashley because that lets you tap into everything that Big E is and still get cheered for. Because even though he's not that tall, Big E is so big and strong that if he starts fucking people up the way he needs to fuck people up, they will start booing. Because then it's just a really aggressive black man beating the shit out of people. And white people don't really like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless you're Bobby Lashley and they're just like, yo, he's just badass. You know what I'm saying? Like, Big E, he has it, but it's tapped into him differently. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just a little different. But I hope, and I mean, obviously we're going to talk about the draft, and I really would like to know how he feels about day one of the draft because it was clear as day that, hey, nah, bruh, listen, you're over there. Like, I don't know if he broke creative and was like, nah, I'm going to Raw. And Bobby Lashley, especially after watching the Broken Skull sessions, I see what he said, thinks his place is, and salute to him again, MVP, for putting building another black man up and putting that title on him, because winning or losing to Bobby Lashley don't make you buried or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, man, that New Day shit for you, sir, is dead right now. You better figure this the fuck out on your own. And I gotta say that I'm not mad at that, especially if he's going to play the back with the major title, the title. This is, you know what I'm saying, if we're keeping it real, it ain't the WWE Championship. It's the Vince McMahon title. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this is like, fam, you got the belt that Shawn Michaels had, that Steve Austin had, that Bret Hart had, that Hulk Hogan had, like the Macho Man Randy Savage had. You have that belt. Fam, you're never going to just introduce yourself as the world's greatest tag team, the New Day. Fuck out of here. Every chance you get, you better let motherfuckers know I'm the WWE champion. I'm Vince McMahon's franchise player, and I got this belt on my waist or my shoulder, however you want to put it. So I do want to see what's next, though, because now we've already established that Big E's a force, and he can really fuck somebody up if he got to. But now what? And the thing is, they drafted the other person he could have proved that to. So
it's gonna be so yeah, it is going to get interesting how this goes. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and go over to the draft. The draft happened. The draft kicked off Friday night on SmackDown, and it was. It was a bit interesting when the New Day was drafted. And I would say that it was about 100% of the people was like, ah, nah, I ain't really fuck with that. I don't know if I'm cool with that. But, I mean, as expected, the first pick of the draft is Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You know, you can expect that with Big E being number two. Now, as expected means that, of course, you're picking the champions first.
Right.
Fuck.
Yeah, like the only thing that could have happened is that SmackDown drafted Big E, so Roman Reigns gets drafted to Raw. Like, but you can't ruin what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't.
Right, you can't ruin that at all. But then you got, right after that, you had Charlotte going over to SmackDown, which took me by surprise a little bit. I'm not going to front. I thought, it's crazy, but Raw, like, Charlotte Flair is synonymous with Raw to me for some reason, even though she's been on both brands. Bianca Belair, which we had talked about a little bit earlier, was drafted to Raw before any of the champions. Well, the woman champion, Becky Lynch. So that was the first round of the draft. Any thoughts on the first round, or just really went status quo other than the women, really?
Yeah, no, you know what was stuck out to me? And I don't know if anybody said this guy. I didn't check Twitter during it because obviously I watched it late. But I was like, oh, shit. The four horsewomen are on SmackDown.
That was a lot. That was tweeted out heavily.
Okay.
That it stands right now, this is the first time during the brand drafts and all that shit, during this era, where the four horsewomen are all on the same roster.
Sure, yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, yeah, because Bayley will be back after WrestleMania. Like, the night after WrestleMania would be my guess.
Right.
You know, but even though, I mean, they said 9 months, but you know how this plays out.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, shit. But you know what? And with that, don't draft nobody. Leave them all over there because I want to see where this goes.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Well, or Monday on Raw. But so round two, Edge goes to Raw.
I was shocked by that.
Yeah. Drew McIntyre goes to SmackDown. The New Day goes over to SmackDown. That's Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. And RK-Bro stays on Raw. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, we didn't need to hear RK-Bro was staying on Raw. I mean, we just didn't need to hear it. We just didn't need to hear that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, again, like, they hit us with a few surprises. Because, I honestly, Bianca Belair going to Raw was a little shocking to me. But then again, I thought about it. And I was like, I'll leave this part of my guarantee, so I'll leave that alone. But yeah, I don't care that RK Bro is gonna. Like, of course, you could announce that shit on NXT 2.0.
We knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about that. Whatever.
I just want to see what happens when they break up. Drew McIntyre going over to SmackDown is needed. And I have something to say about what you said months ago about. And I'll save that for a little bit later. SmackDown getting the New Day kind of shocked me because I thought they was going to keep them together. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business as well. All right, so going to round three, and it was definitely a surprise here. I'll save that surprise last for Guaranteed T number one. We had Nikki, Ash, Almost a Pharaoh, and Rhea Ripley staying on Raw. Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss.
Yeah, man.
I'm just going to say this. I think they fucked up Brandon Corbin's character by putting somebody else with him.
Yeah.
I liked Happy Corbin by himself.
Yeah, he doesn't need anybody. He's one of the few wrestlers that don't need any fucking body.
At any point of his character development. Of any characters, he didn't need not one motherfucker.
Nope.
But maybe him and Riddick gotta be friends. He was like, yo, bring my homie with me. So that's the only thing I can think of. And before I get to Guaranteed Team number one, Keith Bearcat Lee.
Yeah.
Now, let me state this for the record, ladies and gentlemen. Do your history.
Yeah.
I won't even give you the whole thing. Just go look up the term Bearcat in wrestling, because you'll learn something about black wrestling. We talked about it actually on this podcast before. This is one of those situations where I look at Twitter and I see especially black people like, yo, what the fuck's up with this Bearcat name?
Yeah.
And this is when I go, hey, man, you do your Googles. I'm not even going to tell you, because if you're going to be a black wrestling fan and you see something like that, just try to do your Googles and figure out why the fuck the Keith Lee would take that. I don't give a fuck if they said, and here's the thing. I don't give a fuck if Vince McMahon was like, no, we want you to put the Bearcat name on you.
Right.
Because that would be Vince McMahon's way of saying, hey, y'all, do y'all history about that name.
Yeah.
But I will say this, for Keith Lee to get drafted, and to see his promo on social media before the draft on Monday, it shows that, they're about to go to Monster Hill Keith Lee. And I'm cool with that.
I am real quick, and I sorry for cutting you off.
No, you good.
I want a lot of you new black wrestling fans to do, because I can tell y'all new. I just can tell you new. Is stop overreacting and throwing your social justice big joker out every time you don't understand some black shit happening in wrestling. That's all I want. Like that's it. Like, you act like adding Bearcat was like Sambo. You know what I mean? Like,
man,
they act like adding Bearcat was adding the coldest to ever do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, fam, like, come on, man. Like, just like, yo, again, y'all super new, bro. Like, y'all super fucking new, and we know it. Like, some of y'all were born during the Attitude Era. So, like, literally, when Steve Austin won the title and Mike Tyson knocked out Shawn Michaels, you were one. And we get it. But, fam, just like J.R. Bang asked you to, do your fucking Googles. If you don't understand some black shit, or if you don't understand some wrestling shit happened to a black wrestler, stop going to CNN to understand it. Like, go to fucking NWA, AWA, WWF, WCCW, WCW. Like, go somewhere fucking else that involves wrestling, and you just might educate yourself on what really is fucking happening. That's all I got.
And even more importantly, and this is not the cape for Vince McMahon at all.
No.
But do y'all motherfuckers understand how many times any wrestler came to the WWE and their damn name was changed in some way, shape, or form?
Man.
Worked or not worked?
Right.
Like, Coco Beware with the bird is not the same Coco Beware in Mid-South.
Right.
The Rougeaus are not the same Rougeaus. The Bushwhackers was a fucking Monster Heel tag team that was built off violence. And Vince McMahon was like, nah, y'all for the kids here. And they became one of the most beloved tag teams ever. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some moments where you look at Vince crazy, bringing back Tony Atlas and making him Saba Simba.
Yeah, that was wild.
You know, it was wild. You also look at like the Goon, Manitar, Bastion Booger.
What I want to say, though, is that Tony Atlas being Saba Simba didn't make sense to me as a child. And even when we first started this podcast, it was kind of wild to me. But then you know what, Bang, though? I got trapped in the rabbit hole somehow of catching fucking Tony Atlas interviews and commentary. And I'm like, you know.
Oh.
Maybe Vince saw this and was like, hey, your personality says that you can make this work.
Your personality says you're a Mandingo warrior.
Yeah, so, it, you know, like, yo, some of this shit, and I'm not saying that it's willfully racially insensitive, but sometimes, I mean, if we're dealing with the aspect of, hey, 10X your personality, 10X whoever you are, is this, that, or the third, regular-ass, black, strong-ass Tony Atlas ain't getting it done, maybe. And he was like, hey, This is
in 1991. But see, in 1991, that shit wasn't getting done anyway. Right. With Tony Allen, that shit was passed. Then his ass, I think it was after that, he went to WCW and he was just out there with a tank top and some wrestling tights with some knee pads. So Vince McMahon gave you a character. You know Samba Simba more than you know Tony Atlas's third time in WCW.
Right.
Like Big Boss, he gave us the Big Boss Man fan.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean,
he gave us a king.
Yo, there's a double-edged sword to
good or bad.
Not having nothing for you, right? It's a double-edged sword to creative. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. So adding Bearcat Lee don't make Keith Lee unlimitless, motherfuckers. Like, that's right. Basically what it is. Right. Doesn't make him unlimitless. That means he's a Bearcat. That means that he's aggressive. And the Bearcats won this weekend, too. Cincinnati Bearcats defeated the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The biggest win in school history. So, I mean, hey, Bearcat wins. But end of that third round, fam, I started to see the winds of this, but then it came true. Hit Row was drafted to the Big Show, DA Show. Man. It was drafted to SmackDown.
Yeah, SmackDown just got black as fuck SmackDown got black as fuck this weekend. Let's be clear. SmackDown got black as fuck because Street Profits ain't been drafted. and they lost Bianca Belair, but they pick up the New Day and fucking Hit Row. And they owe me on SmackDown. They that draft happened.
Yeah.
So listen.
Super inclusion.
Just to be clear, 70% of black folks is on SmackDown right now in wrestling. at this point.
Man.
So
here's my guarantee number one. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple one. I don't think Hit Row is going to end up like Sanity and some of the other groups that drafted up to SmackDown. Here's why, ladies and gentlemen. And this is, you're probably going to be shocked at the way that I bring this about. But I think Cam just said it. SmackDown just got black as fuck. I think SmackDown, they want SmackDown to be a part of this black inclusion. Have a space for black folks. Raw has had it. Because I have another, not a guarantee, but a thought. People started having issues with Raw when the black folks really were elevated. Now, yeah, it was some issues on Raw. Right. But you didn't even give the top of the card no respect.
Right.
Spread that black out. Spread it out. And I think we Hit Row. I'm a fan of Top Dollar. I've said that. I'm a fan of him. And I think him as a, I don't know if they're going to position him as heels or faces. This is a group can be both. But other than Swerve, and I told y'all about Swerve when he signed with the WWE, I just didn't like that ring attire that he had with the look, with the capris. I'm just not a fan of the capris, fam. But other than that, he could go and he's the NXT North American champion. But I think the two people that's going to receive the most love here is Swerve and AJ Francis Top Dollar. Nothing against B-Fab or nothing. Well, I'm not the biggest Ashanti Adonis guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then plus going to SmackDown, he's going to be a smaller guy. So, 205 Live me, please. But Swerve and AJ, I think, are the gold mine here of this group on SmackDown because you also get a big guy who is the protector, who is the sergeant at arms, who's the henchman.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out. And I think as far as I've only seen her wrestle twice. But just as a black, we need to see more black women on SmackDown anyway. So B-Fab, get out there and do your thing.
Right.
And it's going to work out. Right. I think this is not going to end like Sanity. I'm not going to say that, you about to see Swerve win a world championship, especially not when Roman Reigns is out here. But I do see Swerve. I do see Swerve and AJ as a potential tag team champs. I see them as potential tag team champs on some Freebird rules. And with the New Day being over there with them, that's the other part. The OGs are with the young cats. I think the OGs helped out Street Profits. I think the OGs are going to be able to help out Hit Row as well. And I think the Usos is going to be back there to help them out as well. I think they're going to be okay because the color is matching the assignment at the same time now.
You literally said every fucking thing that I was going to say. I was like, there's a bigger play here with these drafts and specifically Hit Row going over there and then breaking up the New Day and making sure it was specified the New Day. Xavier and Kofi are the guys over here because now, again, like I said, yeah, it got black as fuck over there on SmackDown. But at the same time, look at the young talent that they got them put around. Still another gear for the Street Profits to hit. There's still some shit that the Usos, you know what I'm saying? Like, the one common thing about the tag team division being where it is the New Day. Like,
yeah.
And we got to start acknowledging that as well. Like, the last 3 to 4 years, the tag team division is the tag team division because of the New Day. And so now, what makes sense to me, especially when they say what kind of guy Kofi is in general, I could see him being over there like, yo, well, no, we got to help out these young cats because look how hard it was for us to even be liked and accepted to even get this far. We made it happen, but the lightning in the bottle may not happen for them. The situation and the pivots might not happen for them. And then I ain't gonna front Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. You know, obviously we give MVP a lot of credit for what he's doing on his side for like Raw and all of that. But you know, if you look into Paul Heyman's personal life and if you look into Roman Reigns' personal life, I could see them wanting to have black wrestlers winning, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And prospering in this space in a greater way. You know, like their family life, their home life, you know, like one of the few people that, I mean, gave somebody like New Jack a chance was Paul Heyman. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think that, again, and this is another reason why we want y'all to just Google, because, look, we get the powers that be and all that other shit y'all talking about, but y'all got to realize that y'all also in the era of more people that's not black in spaces to make sure that black people really winning, like, and just in the world that is professional wrestling, like, it's so different now. Michael Cole, I credit Michael Cole a lot for elevating Sasha Banks before mm-hmm. that was really a thing to do. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, SmackDown is gonna get so fucking interesting. I'm tuned in. I'm still tuned in for sure. For sure.
All right, and when we got round 4, which had the Mysterio family going over to Raw.
Yeah, man. I was really hoping it was just hoping it was just Rey or just Dominic.
It's both.
Man, come. Yeah, man. Come on, man. Come on, kick your dad in the face and just get this over with, man.
Hey, man, Jeff Hardy goes over to SmackDown, and Jeff Hardy did have me rolling because he was out there looking like a white blood.
Until the bigger, badder blood showed up.
Exactly. An interesting drafty, Austin Theory, is on his way to Raw.
Yeah.
So I'm interested at that. Because there's always a couple of draft picks, like when Alexa Bliss was drafted to SmackDown, when Carmella was drafted to SmackDown, where like shit was elevated.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes, and then we also got Naomi staying on SmackDown, and then we had some draft picks that took place on Talking Smack. That was interesting as well. Let me go ahead and pull those up. Hold on for a second. Yeah, there we go. All going to SmackDown. Aaliyah, who was in NXT. Drew Gulak is headed to SmackDown. They broke up the rest of Retribution because Mace, the black one, is going to SmackDown. The Mansoor and Mustafa Ali are on their way to SmackDown. And
hey, Tony Saudi Storm. Seth.
Saudi Seth is going to SmackDown. Seth. And shouts out to Saudi Seth, because when they teamed up with Jeff Hardy on Monday, and he was geeked to say with the new theme song, that hey, he let it be known, fam. Hey, man. Hey, we teaming up with man with Jeff Hardy. Excuse me, Jeff Hardy tonight. It's lit. Tony Storm is staying on SmackDown. Yeah, this is my shit, fam. He hit the damn shit in that thing. And headed to Raw, Reggie, Akira Tozawa, the Alpha Academy is on their way to Raw. So again, I'm interested to see how Chad Gable and Otis look on Raw. Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz is on their way to Raw. Doudrop will be staying on Raw. Drake Maverick, John Morrison, T-Bar, Nia Jax, R-Truth, and Zelina Vega on their way to Raw. So, out of all of the draft picks that we've talked about, mm-hmm. moving away from ones we spoke about specifically, do you see one draft pick that we'll look at by next year and see that they stood out?
I mean, this might be low-hanging fruit to y'all because you can kind of see the writing on the wall, but I think... Hey, man, how can you bet against Bianca Belair? Like, there's still more for her to do. I was shocked that she got drafted to Raw, you know what I'm saying, in general. But, yeah, obviously, and the thing is, and if it stands by itself, and I'm just looking at it from this scope, obviously we got one more night of draft. Matter of fact, that one night of draft is going to be here, and I might try to finagle my way in that hole. But,
hey...
You know what I'm saying? But with the entire Four Horsewomen on one show, to me, that sounds like, hey, Bianca Belair, here's the ball. What are you going to do at the very top of this show in the women's division? And if that shit takes off without Charlotte, without Bayley, without Becky, without Sasha, then you officially can't say shit because she is now officially in the running for the best woman wrestler in the world.
So first of all, my pick is the Alpha Academy.
Okay.
I think SmackDown was a little bit too crowded and top heavy with the Usos and Street Profits. You bringing in New Day over there. So I would be shocked if they were to remove the Usos away from Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Hey.
Storyline reasons.
Paul Heyman getting beat to death if he don't.
Yeah, he already scared the shit out of his ass, fam.
Yeah.
Roman already bitching.
Like we already know that.
Like I really believe like they're gonna get drafted on Raw, and then Roman Reigns is gonna be like, Paul, do something, and then like a trade is gonna happen, like they did with Triple H. So basically, the Street Profits got to go over to Raw if Bianca Belair is going. So because you know you got the couples got to stick together. We think.
That's what we think for sure. And it's supposed to be which, and I'll say this because I mean the Red Cup should be on Raw, so I'm not saying that's not a bad move, but it would be interesting.
Yeah, but then when I look at the tag team landscape over there, it's RK Bro right now, and really that's it.
Yeah, I mean because AJ and Omos ain't really a team no more.
Right, they ain't really not no team, and I'm really looking to see what they're going to do with. My last guarantee is Omos will be separated from AJ Styles. That's my other guarantee. I don't know where he's going. But if I had any guess, he's staying over on Raw because AJ Styles is going on SmackDown.
I'm not mad at that.
The face that run the place, yeah, that he's going over to SmackDown again. And Omos is going to be a monster on the Monday Night Raw, which makes things a bit interesting because I think they're going to blend new folks with established folks to give Big E his run. Because it, I mean, that made it was made clear to me when they drafted Drew McIntyre over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like if they're not,
they made it look like that was next.
Right. And yeah, like, and I look at that. I mean, it might be next because you got Saudi Mania coming up.
That's true.
You know, you got Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. Fuck that match, but Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. We don't have to be worried about Bobby Lashley losing the belt to Goldberg, though. So, hey.
That's true, yeah.
So just beat the fuck out of him for the hell of it, Bobby. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But with that being said, like, I think Omos is going to stay. On Raw. AJ Styles is going to SmackDown. Street Profits coming to Raw. I think to break down what you had said weeks ago, we talked about the talent on both programs. Mm-hmm. And you said that you don't think it's necessarily a problem with talent because you put that talent on SmackDown and you're going to see them flourish. Now, this, I think now your theory is definitely about to be put into test. Because Big E is your champ, Bianca Belair, and I hate to say this. I don't know if I hate to say this. It's truth. Bianca Belair is the most over champion on your program now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm glad you said that because that's literally
she ain't the champ.
What I was going to say, yeah, because it wasn't quite a guarantee, but it was just like, hey, be aware of this because look, now Apollo Crews is back on Raw after getting himself the fuck over on SmackDown. Otis and Gable got themselves over on SmackDown. Where are they going to now? So now, look, everybody that was in that random ass internet draft. That got over, now got moved right back over to Raw. So now what's the excuse? They gave you the two most popping black people. They gave you fucking you still got fucking MVP in the Hurt Business. You got that back, yeah. And you right now you still got Arcane Bro because I mean they got drafted. Gotta mention them, right? Everybody's looking for Keith Lee's return. It's been the most anticipated return to wrestling this entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now you add all of that with everybody who elevated themselves on another show. So now, no fucking excuses. It's no excuses.
None.
If Apollo Crews comes in there doing anything different from what he did all year, that's your fucking fault. Because what he did worked.
And he did it by getting over on the new world champion.
Man. So if nothing else, if we don't get Big E versus Apollo Crews for the WWE Championship on one night on Raw, they've already fucked this up.
And the thing is, maybe Apollo Crews sooner rather than later gets the, let's say Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Because you know how we give frivolous title shots to niggas at the Royal Rumble. You know, maybe we give him the Ravishing Rick Rude title shot. And what I mean by that is Ravishing Rick Rude had a history with the Ultimate Warrior, which in turn got him the Intercontinental Championship. I think it was at Royal Rumble and SummerSlam. Ultimate Warrior got his get back and he got his belt back. But then the next year, he was the world champion. So the main event of SummerSlam was Ultimate Warrior versus Ravishing Rick Rude in a cage. So maybe we get the Ravishing Rick Rude title shot for Apollo Crews. But Apollo Crews getting a title shot against Big E in a feud that worked well for Apollo Crews, and now he has Commander Aziz, and he went over on Big E at the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania. It looks good for another black man. Then you got Omos. What happens with Keith Bearcat Lee? The black folks on Raw still look good.
Yep. Yeah, man. So hey, listen, we can't say shit now. And they moved Drew McIntyre out the way. They moved Charlotte out the way. They like, yo, this time we got to start looking at blaming the people that we don't see on Raw, because it ain't the talent. I'm standing on that. I'm sticking by that. And with the trades that they made so far, now granted, we got one more night, but I'm saying, what we see so far, it ain't the roster. It's not the roster itself. It's not the men and women that they plan trade them with. It ain't that.
I'll tell you about what I just saw after the podcast real quick. But yeah, man, like, look, I think between Raw and SmackDown, I think black talent gets evened out a bit more and a better chance to groom. Now, my other question for you before we wrap up, because that's pretty much it, is, we still got Monday. Mm-hmm. We still got Monday coming up, Monday Night Raw. We still got that draft there, and as you see, they're poking from NXT as well, because you got Aaliyah, you got Hit Row that was drafted. So my first question as far as NXT goes, do you see anybody else from NXT being plucked up to Raw or SmackDown?
Man, I honestly expected it to be a little more NXT heavy, to be honest with you, so this is kind of surprising. Because even though I've only watched, I think, 2.5 of the episodes of NXT 2.0, it seems like they're trying to do something like entirely new, just top to bottom. So realistically for me, I wouldn't be surprised if Raquel and Io Shirai get drafted. I don't know if one is on Raw, one is on SmackDown, both on Raw, both on SmackDown, but something about both of them getting out of the way so some other new women can rock out makes sense to me right now. And I mean, hell, honestly, both of them over there on Raw with Bianca Belair, I think it makes that women's division interesting, especially since people don't understand the entertainment value of and the metamorphosis of what's happening with Alexa Bliss right now.
Okay, yeah, I'll say this. Based off the reception that Buddy Ass has gotten, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying that I would not be surprised. Mm-hmm. If Rick Steiner kid gets drafted,
which I would want. Oh shit!
Man. I don't want him down there.
LA Knight, him and LA fucking Knight, my guy. We gotta get both of them up somewhere. I don't know why LA Knight isn't in. Well, I mean, because his name is LA Knight. I want Eli Drake to be on Raw or SmackDown personally, but still. Yeah. But both of them. If I had to pick two guys, since Hit Row was already up, I like his name, but nobody's trying to see no Cameron Grimes on fucking Raw SmackDown.
No
disrespect, but you know.
Not right now. I like his character. I just think it needs to be grown into just a little bit. And that's saying much. That's not, I mean, look at me talking about how I think Bron the Breakker needs to go ahead and get called up. But I'm sorry. That's a motherfucker that ain't got to wait to me. I'm going to say this one more time. I ain't never seen nobody that's really their daddy and their uncle at the same time. That nigga's daddy and his uncle at the same time. And one, he talk like his uncle, act like his daddy. That's the Steiner brothers in one. I just don't like the name. Make that motherfucker back Rex Steiner and then let that nigga go. He don't need to be there for me. He don't need to be there to hold. If that's what we're talking about, what NXT is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a perfect example, ladies and gentlemen. How many times did you see Roman Reigns on NXT? I only saw that motherfucker once. And you know how I only saw him once? I went into Hulu. And I started watching the first episodes of motherfucking SmackDown. And one day I was like, oh, shit. Roman Reigns was on an episode of NXT and wrestling draws at that?
Yeah.
Hey, damn.
He is the only show member that didn't have a vignette of his time in NXT.
No, Dean Ambrose, I only saw once.
Yeah.
And that's when they showed that clip, though. Well, they don't show that clip either.
They didn't show it in the Chronicle joint of the Shield.
I don't remember because Drew McIntyre shows up with the Shield. Because remember, for those who don't know, Seth Rollins was the NXT champion. Yes. The first one. Mm-hmm. And he was the NXT champion when the Shield debuted. The second champion is Big E.
Yeah.
And they jumped Big E, and then I think it was William Regal announced a match where it was Seth Rollins versus Big E Langston for the NXT championship, and he beat Seth Rollins. So the only time I see Dean Ambrose in NXT is because he beat up Big E along with Roman Reigns, his second appearance, and Seth Rollins.
Ah, man, there you go. Never
so mind. Braun got his damn appearances out the way. Bring his ass up. Who's the fucking U.S. champion? It's Damian Priest. Mm-hmm. Who's the Intercontinental champion? Shinsuke. Yeah. Send that motherfucker to SmackDown and have him go up against Shinsuke.
I like it.
You gotta waste time with him. Yeah. Now I will hit. Here's my last guarantee. This was my last one. Sorry.
Oh, that's cool.
But if Tommaso Ciampa, Joey Gargano, and some of the NXT OGs are not drafted, them motherfuckers will not be in the WWE by after WrestleMania. They will be a part of the after WrestleMania cuts. Because the way NXT is going, ain't no need for Tommaso Ciampa to be down there. Ain't no need for Joey Gargano and them to be down there. Unless they're trainers. Unless they got a job.
Okay. Yeah, I see, no I reason. See what you're...
There's
I see where you're going.
There's no reason for them to be down there. So we'll see what happens when it comes to that. But I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Seth Rollins. I think I'm interested in what they're going to do with Becky Lynch. So what do you expect from the main roster for the draft on SmackDown? I mean, tomorrow on Raw. Monday on Raw.
Monday's draft. I am with you on AJ Styles getting drafted. Even though I do like the dynamic of AJ and Omos, and I didn't think I would like it that much. I honestly didn't. And it doesn't look like. And you know what? They lost the titles, and it didn't end with a turn from either person. So that was interesting to me. What I do expect. Again, I mean, Paul Heyman life is in danger, so the Usos are going to fucking SmackDown. But I will say this. I think, and this is my guarantee, actually, as we talk about the draft, I expect the bloodline to grow and the tribal chief and the family to grow after this draft. I think because we're over in 400 days now. I think year two, we see the true evolution of what they got going on. And I think that is making sure Tamina is acknowledged and Naomi is acknowledged and a cousin or two that we don't see yet on any roster prominently is being acknowledged.
Hey, little brother shit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really do. I think that's it. And I think that's a storyline that this era needs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really do think that we need this this tribal chief, we the ones, the bloodline storyline to just be very prominent and to grow naturally. Like, no fake family members allowed, because they literally don't need it. And I think it's going to happen as this draft takes place. As far as other draft picks, I mean, honestly, I can't see too much happening. I think Alexa Bliss will be drafted. I think it will be interesting how she takes her drafting, because you know she started foaming at the mouth last time we seen her, because Lily got disintegrated. You know what I'm saying? by Charlotte Flair. Other than that, as far as the guys, I mean, shit, I'm sure they're going to highlight that the Viking Raiders are fucking drafted to fucking Raw. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure, like, shit like that is going to happen. Shit, other than that, the only thing that I would want to see, I guess, is that the Hurt Business established that they are officially back together. Like, that would be it. And then they get drafted.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really it. I mean, night one, I think, is night one. Like, I think, shit, to me, a lot of this, that second and third and fourth round, a lot of them was a lot of bullshit-ass picks, honestly. I mean, also the Edge, Bianca, Drew, New Day, Big E, Roman Reigns, who the fuck do we care about? Like, I mean, like that, you know what I mean? And I don't think anybody else is going nowhere. I think NXT is going to get plucked. And between Rex, LA Knight, Raquel, Io Shirai, that's it. That's one round right there.
I want to see what happens with Io Shirai too. I really want to see what they're going to do with that, if they're going to keep her down there. She has no business being on NXT.
Yeah, man. I guess I'm just not I think we've seen everything that probably needed to happen. I just want to see. I want to see stories develop. That's really my thing with this draft. Like, usually I get a little excited for drafts, but
right.
since the contrast from what was happening on Raw versus happening on SmackDown was so talked about, and all they did to me was swap everybody that put they self on, if you will, got they self hot, and now we're expecting different results. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Let's see.
Well, we're gonna see what happens tomorrow, man. I think it's gonna be very interesting, but we're gonna see what happens tomorrow, which is Monday Night Raw. When you listen to this podcast and everything, it might be past Monday. So, you know, just letting you know. So boom, boom, boom. Right. So, well, I mean, we've given out our goddamn teas. We giving out some real talk for y'all motherfuckers too. So shit. We getting this.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, man, thank you all for tuning into the show each and every week and checking for the show when you don't see the show, man. That's also greatly appreciated. You know, we like doing this. We love giving you this brand of wrestling content, and we don't plan to stop anytime soon. And we appreciate and thank you and express our gratitude for you for making it a reality every single day, every single week. Please keep up with the likes, the comments, the shares, the commentary, the conversation. We always appreciate it, and always know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Camp Bang. We are out.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.